You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, April 25th, 2025, the perfect date. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We'll get more to that perfect date a little bit later in the show. Glad to have you along here on a big Friday, a busy Friday. In hour number two, our old friend Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, going to be on here with a humorous look at the week in review, the wild and wacky nature of human behavior. Always a fun way to end the week. And also in hour number two, Brandon Ewing. Of course, Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger fullback and NFL fullback, pops on the show every other Friday, more or less. He's tied up today. But the great thing about having the brothers Ewing is there's always a bench to go to. So we're having Brandon Ewing on today. And I'm glad to have Brandon today for a couple of reasons. The NFL draft happening up in Green Bay this weekend. I watched it last night. Of course, the Packers finally took a wide receiver in round one last night. President Mark Murphy made a big deal of it and announced it. We'll talk more about that. Matthew Golden from Texas, a wide receiver in round one. And you saw last night, if you're watching, all the family got interviewed. So we're going to talk with Brandon Ewing in hour number two a little bit how it feels being a family member when your brother gets drafted into the NFL. And Brandon's been a longtime high school basketball coach, the WIAA today, making NIL, name, image, and likeness, legal in the state of Wisconsin. We'll ask Brandon how he feels about that as a Wisconsin high school basketball coach. But right now, I want to get to breaking news of the day. Our friend and colleague Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on Matinair on Air, along with our news director at WAUK in Waukesha, Racine, were the first ones to talk about this morning on Jane's show. It has been a fluid story throughout the morning, and wanted to pick up on this. Our friend Matt Flynn is standing by in Milwaukee. We're going to go to him to help us suss all this out and understand it in just a moment. But I want to start out kind of putting the story in context, and where I'm going to start from is a great story by CBS News. Scott McFarland, great reporter, tells it right down the middle, honestly. He covers the federal courts, all done a lot of stuff on January 6th to other places. Scott McFarland really puts this into context at CBS News, so that's where I'm going to start, and we're going to bring Matt in. So this is from the CBS story. The FBI this morning arrested a Wisconsin county judge on obstruction charges, accusing her of preventing the arrest of a man by immigration authorities during a federal law enforcement operation at her courthouse. FBI Director Kash Patel said Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan, quote, intentionally misdirected federal agents away, unquote, from an immigrant who is in the U.S. illegally and was set to be arrested. Going to step away from the story a minute. He put this out on Twitter this morning, has since taken it down. But, of course, you know, once things are on Twitter, they're always there. Back to the CBS story. Patel said that this man, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, was later arrested and is currently being detained. Dugan was arrested at 8 o'clock this morning at the courthouse where Dugan works, according to a federal law enforcement source. She was charged with two counts of obstruction and released from detention after making an initial appearance in federal court. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this next part. There was a sworn statement by the FBI agent. This guy had been deported from the U.S. back in 2013. The allegation is he illegally re-entered the U.S. again and had been in court for allegedly committing battery. Back to the story. After a fingerprint match from Flores Ruiz's first arrest in 2013, and a local case in Milwaukee, a warrant for his arrest and deportation was issued by ICE. This next part is important. While Flores Ruiz was scheduled to appear before Dugan in a criminal court appearance, law enforcement waited outside her courtroom to arrest him on an administrative warrant. Matt Flynn's going to explain the importance of that in a minute. Back to the story. The FBI agent said in a statement that, quote, arrest team members reported that while waiting outside of the courtroom, a woman approached and took photos of arrest team members, unquote, just before Flores Ruiz arrived at the courthouse with his attorney. A courtroom deputy told the FBI agent that the woman who took the photos of the arrest team showed the pictures to Judge Dugan while she was on the bench in her courtroom. And, quote, Dugan became visibly angry, commented that the situation was absurd, left the bench, and entered chambers, unquote. Judge Dugan then approached the arrest team with another judge in the public hallway. Quote, witnesses uniformly reported that Judge Dugan was visibly upset and had a confrontational, angry demeanor, unquote, the agent wrote. Dugan, according to witnesses, told the arrest team to go to the chief judge's office to speak with them about the permissibility of making the arrest inside the courthouse and looked around the hallway near her courtroom to seek out other law enforcement officers who were waiting to arrest Flores Ruiz. One agent, who Dugan did not recognize as part of the arrest team, remained in the hallway waiting for the suspect. After that, the special agent said multiple witnesses in Dugan's courtroom saw her say, quote, wait, come with me, unquote, to Flores Ruiz. He headed towards the public courtroom exit where the officers were waiting. Quote, Judge Dugan then escorted Flores Ruiz to his counsel and his counsel out of the courtroom through a quote unquote jury door, which leads to a non-public area of the courthouse, unquote, the agent wrote. Adding that Dugan also instructed the man's attorney to also leave the courtroom through that door. Agents later spotted Flores Ruiz, quote, looking around the hallway, unquote, in the courthouse and followed him out of the courthouse where a foot chase ensued and he was arrested. Dugan's arraignment is set for May 15th. I wanted to set that stage as being reported by CBS News at this hour. Scott McFarland, a great reporter. And remember, a lot of that is according to the FBI, who is part of this whole deal. To make sense of it, to put it down there where the chickens can get at it, our friend always says history is being made every moment of every day. Let's go to the front lines of history. Matt Flynn, an attorney, an author, a veteran of the United States Navy, and one of our friends as well, a former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, two times, by the way. Matt, thanks for being here.
Good to be with you, Todd. I always love being on the Todd Oboe Show. This is a very, very concerning story, and I want to say right from the outset, I know Judge Dugan. I have supported her, and I have known her for years. She's a very fine judge. She's very, very honest. She's committed no crime. And let's just explain real briefly the result of what happened. First of all, this is an administrative warrant. It wasn't a judicial warrant. An administrative warrant is issued by, in this case, ICE or the Naturalization Department, without any judicial oversight whatsoever. ICE has been corrupt. Now, many ICE agents are very fine people, but at the highest levels, they've been corrupted. You take somebody like Kash Patel. Kash Patel, I don't believe, really has American values. He sort of reminds me of Narendra Modi's Hindu Nationalist Party values, frankly. So what they do is they come to the thing. She tells them to leave. Go to the chief judge's office, Judge Ashley, who also somebody I know. Mm-hmm. And they many leave, but one of them slyly stays behind. She then goes in and she says to the guy and his lawyer, leave by that exit. There's nothing wrong with that. She can control her courtroom. I litigated in Milwaukee for 40 years, and the whole issue of cameras in the courtroom, who can go in the courtroom, is up to the judge. It's up to the judge. These people should not be going into the courthouse, much less a courtroom. So she did it. She didn't mislead anybody. And now they, as an intimidation tactic, have charged her with two felonies in federal court. And she is innocent. She has committed no crime. And I think you're going to find people, including judges, will be uniformly supportive of her.
Matt, let's go back to a second to this guy, Flores Ruiz, who was the guy they're going after, the FBI. So he's here apparently on help me understand this. He was not going to Judge Dugan's courtroom on any sort of immigration charges. It was a separate allegation of battery that he had done. Apparently, according to the reporting by CBS, he at one time at least was undocumented and is accused of coming back in undocumented. But that this has nothing to do, correct me if I'm wrong, with whether this guy is legal or illegal or keeping people in or out. This has to do with the sanctity of law in a Wisconsin courtroom. Am I right about that?
No, you hit the nail on the head, and I'll go one step further. When a judge in Wisconsin controls her own courtroom, it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And if someone's disruptive or there's something she thinks is wrong, she can control it. She did control it. She personally went out, didn't mislead anybody. She said, get out of here and go to Judge Ashley's office. He's the chief judge. Mm-hmm. They all went away but one. He sneakily stuck around. They did not have a judicial warrant. They had a warrant, quote, warrant that was simply signed by one of their team, by one of Cash Patel's team. And then she went back in and said, you can leave by this exit. She can decide whatever exit she wants to have them leave.
Right.
None of their business. There's none of their business. Then they went off and they finally caught the guy. This is absolutely of a piece with everything Trump is doing and all of his cabinet, which is to try to intimidate American citizens in this case. Hannah Dugan's an American citizen and a highly regarded judge.
New reporting from Dan Bice from the Journal Sentinel at this hour in Milwaukee says a new statement from Hannah Dugan, quote, Judge Hannah C. Dugan has committed herself to the rule of law and the principles of due process for her entire career as a lawyer and a judge. Judge Dugan will defend herself vigorously and looks forward to being exonerated, unquote. New statement from Judge Dugan, as reported by Dan Bice at this hour, Matt.
Right. And remember something. This was not a judicial warrant. If they want to arrest me, a judge can write a warrant, and that's a very substantial thing. An administrative warrant is somebody within the agency. In this case, this agency has shown its colors. It's invading courtrooms, and some guy signs it and says, okay, this is a warrant. Well, it does not trump Judge Dugan's power over her own courtroom. And she comported herself absolutely lawfully and absolutely by extending due process.
About a minute left here before the first break, Matt. Going to come back and hear from U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is already on the conservative airwaves talking about this after the break. But I want you to talk for a minute here. Explain the latitude that a judge has in the state of Wisconsin over their courtroom, because it's fairly broad, and I don't think a lot of people understand this.
A judge has absolute control over the courtroom. If there's someone disruptive, they can send them out. In this case, ICE was being disruptive by coming in without judicial authorization and about to interfere with her court. The cases that I had, I would try to get TV cameras in for TV stations. The judge can decide. If they don't want them in there, out you go. Out you go. And so in this particular case, Judge Dugan acted with restraint. And absolutely, she has control of her courtroom, or we'd have a circus. And what's going on here is sort of a Putin tactic of trying to intimidate judges. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come back. So we said we have Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi on Fox News this morning talking about this case and allegations against all judges. What does this mean, not just for these judges, but what is Trump really up to here? What is Cash Patel up here? Is this up to? Is this intimidation? And what does it mean for us as Wisconsinites? We'll come back, discuss it more with our friend Matthew J. Flynn, attorney of Milwaukee, our friend of ours. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show and Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Tal Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio really Network. It is 22 past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Friday, April 25th, 2025. Matt Flynn, attorney at Milwaukee. a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Great author, by the way. We'll talk about that some other time with Matt. We always like to talk about some of the books he's written. But he's here today in helping us understand what's going on in Milwaukee. This breaking news first reported by our colleagues, Jane Mattner and Greg Bach, along with Stuart J. Waddles on Mattner on Air this morning. They were right on top of this as soon as it happened. And went through this story on CBS News. Scott McFarland, who's a longtime judicial reporter, I think put this in great context, Matt. And talking about this arrest this morning in Milwaukee County Courthouse of this judge, Judge Hannah Dugan, Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, who had this guy in her courtroom who the feds allege is here illegally, but he was in there for an alleged battery charge. To talk about that. And so the feds show up, the FBI, ICE, whatnot, and Kash Patel puts out this tweet this morning, the head of the FBI, and since deleted it, and basically calling for Judge Dugan to, not basically, did call for Judge Dugan, and she got arrested. The allegation is that somehow she helped this individual who is alleged to be undocumented slip away by saying, hey, exit my courtroom through for a certain door. And just like what happened with Trump rounding up alleged Venezuelan gang members and sending them to CECOT, this high-end, high-security, almost gulag-type prison in El Salvador, Matt, it seems to me, again, this isn't so much about whether, you know, look, I'm not for people being here, quote-unquote, illegally. I think we should have strong borders. It's not about that to me. In the case against the folks going to El Salvador, due process, whether you're a citizen or not, Constitution guarantees due process. And here in this case now with the judge in Milwaukee, Matt, it seems to me this is not about whether this individual happens to be quote unquote legal or illegal, but it's about can the head of the FBI in the United States of America just start rounding up and arresting judges for seemingly trumped up charges, pun intended.
That nails it. Just exactly what she said. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about this defendant. He may be a bad guy, and he maybe should be deported consistent with due process. In this case, they're not just going after him. They're going after the judge. And the judge was very upfront. She came walking out of her courtroom, and she said, stay the hell out of my courtroom. Get out of the courthouse. And if you have a problem with that, go to see Carl Ashley, the chief judge. That's what they should have done. A whole bunch of them went to see him, but one sort of lay in the weeds and to stay back there. And she went into the courtroom and told the lawyer and apparently told the lawyer and the defendant, you can leave by that door. That's her right. Mm-hmm. It's her courthouse. Mm-hmm. It's her courtroom. That is her right. I've litigated in those courthouses for a long time. Now, she had no obligation to go out in the court and say, oh, you snuck around and you're still hanging here. You look suspicious. That's okay. Why don't you do whatever the hell you want in my court? That's not what Wisconsin law says. What they are doing, the Trump administration, is having people like Kash Patel, and it could be somebody like Kristi Noem next time, sign a piece of paper that say, go grab this guy. And that's what? Good? Well, first of all, it's not good. It's not due process. But secondly, and if you don't turn him over, we'll arrest the judge? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And there is going to be a strong reaction from Wisconsin on that one.
We're going to get to that minute. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has already put out a statement. But before we do that, I want to play this cut. This is from Fox News. Just a few moments ago, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi was on there, and they're asking her not just about Judge Dugan, who was arrested in Milwaukee, but another judge on similar kind of made-up charges because in the eyes of the Trump administration, they're not adhering to what they think they should. And so Fox News asked U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi about this. Here's what she said.
Madam, what's happened to our judiciary is beyond me.
Yeah, so when the American public hears this and they think, these were once upstanding people in their communities and their professions, and they put it all on the line for this. I mean, have you dug into their motive? Like, what inspired them to carry out these acts and harbor criminals?
They're deranged is all I can think of. I cannot believe, I think some of these judges think they are beyond and above the law, and they are not. And we're sending a very strong message today. If you are harboring a fugitive, we don't care who you are. If you are helping hide one, if you are giving a TDA member guns, anyone who is illegally in this country, we will come after you and we will prosecute you. We will find you.
Matt Flynn, that from U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, the supposed top law enforcement person in the United States of America, that to me sounds chilling. Having a person with that much power and standing to say, we're going to come after you and find you.
If I were Hannah Dugan, I would sue her for a defamation, for large damages, for saying that she harbored a criminal and that she was deranged or whatever else was said. That's absolutely false. Pam Bondi is not, in my view, a legitimate attorney general. She's sort of a Bond girl. She was hired for her appearance, just like Hegseth was for his appearance. These people have absolutely no ability whatsoever. And she got on there and she just lied. She didn't harbor a criminal. Hannah Dugan didn't harbor anybody. Hannah Dugan has what's called a courtroom. And the defendants in what's called the courtroom, and Hannah Dugan said to people, get the hell out of my courtroom. And then she told the guy they could leave by a certain door. It was absolutely false what Pam Bondi just said. I don't know who this other judge is they're talking about. But if Trump thinks that he's going to start having people like Pam Bondi and Kash Patel sign pieces of paper that say warrant at the top, and therefore they're committing felonies, baloney. We're not going to put up with that.
Yeah. Matt, I really appreciate your time on short notice coming in and helping us explain this, because I think in moments like this, when rhetoric gets turned up, we need to focus on the law, what the law says, and follow that. And nobody does it better. I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for being here today.
Good to be with you, Todd, always.
Thank you so very much. Matt Flynn, he'll be back. He'll be always around. We always enjoy having Matt Flynn, a little Johnny Cash, and looking at history. As Matt Flynn says, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Back with more news after this. Stay tuned to news, weather, and sports update, and more on the other side. It's the All Balls Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On that side of the law. Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a TGIF, Zombers. We made it to the end of another week. How about that?
Whew, we sure have.
Going to talk more about the draft, of course, up in Green Bay, going on second round, going on later on today with Brandon Ewing, brother of Brady Ewing, who normally comes on the show, former Badger fullback. NFL fullback as well. But this is a good perspective from Brandon today as a brother of somebody who got drafted. Because last night, if you're watching the draft, there was all these interviews, and some of them pretty cool, with dads, moms, brothers, sisters, grandmas, from their perspective. So Brady's traveling today, so we thought it would be fun to get a perspective of the family member. And also, Brandon's a high school coach. WIAA, the governing authority of high school sports, today passing name, image, and likeness, amongst other things. Get Brandon's take on that in hour number two. And our old friend Peter Rapine will be here in 1 hour with the wild and wacky of human behavior with a weekend review. Many thanks to Matt Flynn for coming on short notice. We'll continue to cover this story of the judge in Milwaukee being arrested now. Free, out. There is a rally, my understanding, at 3 o'clock this afternoon on the courthouse steps in Milwaukee in support of Judge Dugan, for those listening in southeast Wisconsin. Brewers trying to get back on the winning streak tonight. They lost again last night to the Giants, 6-5 on the road. Reports of a closed-door players-only meeting after that. Even Christian Yelich calling himself out for an error, drop ball. So we'll see if the Brewers can get back on track. They are in St. Louis tonight to take on the evil, terrible Cardinals. I say that because the Cardinals beat the Brewers in Game 7 of the World Series back in 1982. Game time set tonight for the pregame show at 6:40 this evening. You can hear it on our stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and now in beautiful Hayward. Brewers and Cardinals tonight at 6:40. One of our viewers on YouTube, you can watch this on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, Twix, all those things. Wolf, what is it? Wolf Tech?
If we say Wolf Tech, that's close enough.
All right. Thank you for the viewership. Says the draft was electric last night. Both the Packers pick in the theater and Sweet Caroline in the Bowl of Lambeau were both amazing to be a part of. Oh, that's great, Wolf Tech. It says, I had to come back to work, but going back up after work to enjoy the rest of the draft tomorrow. Great. We'll tune in hour number two. We'll talk more about that with Brandon Ewing. It was a cool thing. We'll talk more draft here next hour. Want to talk about tariffs a little bit, but from a different perspective. Reports today that President Donald Trump going to dial back more of the tariffs, particularly on China. And what hasn't been talked a lot about, part of some people are saying, well, you know, his internal economist came in and said, well, probably not the right thing to do. What has not been talked about is earlier this week, some of the big guys, I think they're all guys from places like Amazon, and then more so Target, and some of these big box stores came in for a private meeting with Trump and said, here's the thing about all these tariffs on China. By summer, these store shelves will be empty because most of our things we put in Target and Walmart and the big box stores come from China. And that seemed to resonate because with Trump, if you draw him a picture, you understand, he gets those things.
In crayon.
Well, yeah. And so that probably would not be a good look on Twitter. So he's reconsidering this. It was a great thread on Twitter this week from Ryan Pedersen. And for those listening from Richland Center, no, not that Ryan Pedersen. Great guy, by the way, Ryan Pedersen. This is a different Ryan Pedersen. Maybe he pronounces it Peterson. I'm not sure. Founder and CEO of Flexport. Had a great take on this. He writes, in the 3 weeks since the tariffs took effect, ocean container bookings from China to the United States are down 60% industry-wide. Get this, the U.S. imports $600 billion dollars worth of goods from China every year. 95% of that via ocean freight. Those goods sell at retail for $2 trillion. So think about that. All the goods annually that come into the United States, they sell at retail for $2 trillion. Peterson writes, if the tariffs on China continue at the current levels, we would see a $2 trillion hit to the economic activity in our country. The failure of tens of thousands of American businesses and the laying off of millions of employees. We'll also have mass shortages this summer as goods don't show up. The first ships carrying goods, paying the duties, arrived on Monday, this past Monday. And the decline in freight arrivals will hit in the coming weeks. Companies stocked up on inventory in anticipation of April 2nd's tariffs, so it'll take a while before the shortages hit. If Trump reverses course very soon, he could head off the worst of this catastrophe. But every day it gets worse. With bookings down 65%, ocean carriers canceled 25% of their sailings from China the last 2 weeks. Those ships are already being repositioned to other trade lanes. So again, step away from Peterson's writing. What he's saying is, you know, because of what Trump has already done, if he doesn't reverse it, which now he's talking today, he might. A $2 trillion hit to the economy in retail sales over the course of a year. And that bookings, so what happens is you have, you know, all these big carrier ships that haul all of our crap from China that we buy, myself included.
at Walmart and Target and even True Value, even our local, some of our local mom and pop stores, look at the bottom. It says made in China. All right. So all that stuff has to come on a container ship. There's no railway that carries it, no semis. I guess some select things come via plane, but the vast majority comes via containers. And these, when we say containers, so on these great big huge barges that are blocks long are these containers. The containers are basically railway cars. So think of how big a car is on a train, on a carrier train or a cargo train. Well, those are called containers. And that carries all the stuff from China on a ship here. They get taken off the ship and they get put on a railroad car. And then some of them get onto 18-wheelers and whatnot. And that's how it gets into our local stores. So these container ships, many of them are owned by private carriers. So bookings are already down 65%. And ocean carriers have canceled 25% of their of the sailings, of the bookings already. All right. So back to this a long thread by Ryan Peterson, really informative. He writes, quote, soon we may find ourselves in a bullwhip scenario where Trump relaxes the tariffs, but all those canceled orders get rebooked, creating a huge surge. And with all the canceled services and repositioned vehicles, get this, there won't be enough throughout the pipeline in the ocean network to keep up. The result will be surging prices on the ocean, perhaps higher than we saw in 2024 when the Red Sea was cut off for shipping, and approaching levels from 2021-2022 when container rates from China to the U.S. hit $20,000 each. Air freight rates also surged that year, as just 1% of ocean freight volume being converted to air is enough to send prices above $10,000 a kilo, as we saw during COVID. He writes, it's a strange time in the logistics world, as we have to plan for the unimaginable while hedging for regression to the mean, basically meaning relatively normal trade relations. He writes, thankfully, we're all well-versed in operating in crisis mode here at his company called Flexport. It's why we'll likely be working in this industry. We have learned to run tight, observation-oriented, decide-act loops. That's for people in logistics. Those people get that. But basically what he's saying here, if you boil it all down and look what he's written, this is the guy who deals in this industry, that because of this self-inflicted wound by Donald Trump, i.e. these unprecedented tariffs, even if he starts relaxing it and reversing it today or in the coming days, which is good, we're probably still going to see either a shortage of goods this summer and or higher prices at the stores because of the short-sightedness and self-infliction wound of Donald Trump. Because these ships that carry all of our stuff to us, 25% of them have already booked with other clients around the world. So you can't just undo that in a moment. It's going to take time already for the shipping industry to go back to some semblance of normal. And in the meantime, we're going to have goods sitting in ports in China that can't get here. And those goods that are here, prices are going to go up. I just think it's important that we understand this because we're going to hear a lot of lies and rhetoric in the coming weeks and months as prices go up and goods aren't here, blaming Democrats, probably Joe Biden. I think it's important to pause and reflect the real reason why these things are happening. And the really important thing is none of this had to happen. It is the fault. It is the actions of one person, Donald Trump. to bring these tariffs on to the United States that's going to cause all of this havoc. And none of it is good. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'd love your thoughts on this. Because right now, I mean, you go to the stores, everything looks fine. We'll see. We'll see if that continues on through the summer. Want to touch on a couple of things because we don't, and again, I get it. A lot of this stuff is to distract us, right, from what's really happening in Congress. But I also feel like some of this stuff we have to also talk about. But I do want to take a few minutes, major things ahead for Congress, and we're going to continue to talk about it on Monday. Congress in recess right now. One of the things Congress has to keep their eye on the ball is recessions. Congress expects to get President Donald Trump's list of suggested cuts from current spending sometime this week. Well, the week's running out. We're told by a familiar source. These are known as rescissions. I think I said recessions. Rescissions. What could the cost of rescissions be? Punchbowl is on it. Great news source, by the way. We'll talk about that when we come back. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls, making us all happy, making us lunch. No, we're past lunchtime now. We're now in the new time zone, in the new time slot. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. News, weather, sports for you. Come on back. Brandon Ewing will be here talking about what it's like to be a big bro of someone who gets drafted in the NFL. Also, his thoughts as a high school coach on the WIAA approving NIL. All that coming up in hour number two. And, of course, Matthew Golden, is now a Green Bay Packer. Talk about the draft. And then Peter Rapine at the bottom of next hour, managing editor of E-Bombs World, with the wild and wacky in human behavior. Right now, talking about some of these major things ahead for Congress, coming up here after the Easter break, as they call it. Rescissions. I think I said recessions. I really do need to get new glasses soon. Congress sending President Donald Trump a list of suggested cuts from current spending. This is from Punchbowl News. This is from not just the new budget, but this is from current spending. So these rescissions differ from the traditional cuts considered by Congress, whereby lawmakers usually vote on the next year's spending. But here, President Trump expected to propose cuts to current spending, including possibly eliminating funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which would affect some 1,500 local public media stations, as well as National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting, PBS, which includes PBS News, Sesame Street, amongst others. Once Trump proposes the rescissions, Congress has 45 legislative days to either accept them or amend them. Otherwise, his request lapses and the funding stays intact. So while we're hearing all of these kind of more politically media sexy stories, we have to keep our eyes on what's happening in the halls of Congress to see what they're doing to possibly make cuts there. Another thing we have to look at more next week, reconciliation. When last we left Republican lawmakers, they had passed the first critical step toward expanding and extending Donald Trump's tax cuts, a budget resolution. This blueprint opens up the reconciliation process that allows Republicans to pass tax cuts and some other agenda items, through the Senate, with a simple majority vote. They do not have significant time if they want to make their deadline. The budget resolution sets a May 9th deadline for committees to write the tax cut portion of their next larger bill. Doing this will not be easy. The budget resolution left most of the hard questions unanswered. Amongst them, how much spending must be cut and where the cuts come from? How much should the debt ceiling increase? And which tax cuts should be added for whom and for how long? In other words, it's the nitty-gritty. It's the details, right? Devil's always in the details. So while the big story's making news, we have to keep our eyes on that, there's these things that are happening in Congress that really affect you and I as taxpayers and what happens in our daily lives. Also, the future of Medicaid. We'll get to that next week as well. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick in Waukesha, listening on WAUK. Rick, you want to talk about tariffs? What say you?
Yeah, Todd, I got some thought on this. Have you ever heard of a pipeline bubble?
I have not.
Okay. What this is in the oil industry, when they have one pipeline and they have multiple products, they'll put a wash bubble through there. They'll clean the pipe and empty it and then change the product.
Got it.
Okay. So that's a pipeline bubble. And what I'm wondering is if this situation is intentional to help the oil industry for some payback in the shipping. And then also I'm wondering if this tariff, you know, the oil industry is going to start having trouble because China has built this huge dam. And they're going to start producing a lot of electricity. So, you know, there's a reason that maybe this is all going on.
Yeah, the story. No, I appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you so very much. What we were talking about earlier is the tariffs more so on produced goods, not so much energy, but things like, you know, I don't know, summertime's coming, like beach balls that we buy for the kids at the beach or coolers. Well, most all that stuff's produced in China. And it all comes across on a container ship. And so now this story we were talking about, Ryan Peterson here posted on X, a guy who works in the industry, is saying that, you know, 25% of the ships that normally carry that stuff because of the Trump tariffs, they're already reassigned to other places. So even if Trump relaxes some of these tariffs on goods from China, it may not even be able to get them on ships in time to get them here for the summer or into the fall. It takes time to set all this stuff up. But interesting thought there, Rick, on industry and oil as well. Of course, under Biden, we're now our own largest oil producer here in the United States. We have a lot of energy. And, of course, you incorporate green energy, expanding solar and wind into that as well. But, Rick, you bring up an interesting point. We'll have to look into that. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'll welcome your calls as well. But we're going to keep on top of this, as we said. Lots of things coming as Congress gets back to into session, the future of Medicaid. Also, nomination holds. Lots of people that have been put on hold for nominees from President Trump. So all that to come next week. And, of course, summer's with you. In 2 days in today's news cycle, anything could happen.
Who knows? Truly anything.
Anything. Here's what I know is going to happen. We're going to take a break. News, weather, and sports. Come back with Brandon Ewing on the other side. What's it like to be a family member and wait while your brother gets drafted in the NFL? And also, NIL. Name, image, and likeness comes to high school athletics. Parker Klein, your deal with Culver's is done. Back after this on the All Ball Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.